So, we meet Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe as a child, he grows up in the palace. The Ibn Ezra says that the reason he grows up in the palace in one of the amazing Ibn Ezra's is because of, as has become to be known as, the a rabbi can't be the rabbi in the in his own community, Ibn Ezra, right? No one would take him seriously if they knew him as a kid, so he had to grow up outside and come back, right? That's his psychological read of this story, which, as a rabbi, I can attest to. I once actually said this in Staten Island, but the assistant rabbi is actually someone who's like around my age, a little bit older, who grew up in Staten Island and now is the assistant rabbi. So I had to apologize to him before I said this, Ibn Ezra. But let's get to this pasuk. So what happens? The first time we see Moshe really doing anything, what is he doing?
Saving
the... Killing an Egyptian.
Good. He's going out. But here's a pasuk that there are two very different ways of reading it, or really three, and the meaning of the pasuk changes, and the meaning of the way you understand Moshe changes very radically based on one word. And here's the pasuk. Vayigdal Moshe, vayitze el echav, vayar v'tzivlotam, vayar ish mitzvi make ish ivri me echav. Moshe gets older, goes out to his brothers, he sees their tzivlot, right, tzivlotam, their suffering or something like that. And he sees a Mitzri hitting a Jew. Zev! Zev! I just saw Zev walking. Hitting a Jew from his brothers. Here's the question. Who are his brothers?
The implication being Ephraim?
Good, so this is a huge machlokas.
Also, how would he
and now you'll understand what hangs on this. The Ibn Ezra says, Vayetze el echav ha-mitzrim.
Yeah, that would make sense.
The Egyptians. Now, I do love the frum guy here where the footnoter says, Tzarech lomar ha-ivrim.
No.
Because the next line of the Ibn Ezra is, Ki ba'armon ha-melech haya. So, the way the footnote is reading it, he went out to his brothers because his brothers were the Ephraim, and he was currently amongst the Egyptians, right? The simplest part of the Ibn Ezra is Kipshuta, which is, he went to the Egyptians who were his brothers because he was a prince.
The prince of Egypt.
He was the prince of Egypt, and therefore his brothers were the Egyptians. That is how the Ibn Ezra reads it. The Ramban says, Vayitzei Elachav, ki higidu lo asher hu Yehudi, because he knew somehow that he was Jewish. So let us just reflect for a moment on how much hangs on this word. According to the Ibn Ezra, when we meet Moshe at this point, he is an Egyptian prince who identifies with the Egyptians. He's going out to say, summary of where we are since we came in, right? Is that when we say Moshe went out, El Echav, right, that first story that we know about him, there's a Machlok Rishonim. Who are his brothers? Who is Moshe at this point? Ibn Ezra says, the Mitzrim are his brothers because he's an Egyptian prince. The Ramban says, it's the Jews because he knew he was a Jew. Now, how much hangs on this? A lot. Because according to Ibn Ezra, the Moshe we meet is an Egyptian prince. He identifies as Egyptian. Maybe he doesn't know he's Jewish. And the drama in this story is that he goes as an Egyptian and then has a change of heart. Right? He goes, he sees the plight of the suffering, and at that point he comes to...
That's where they wasn't exposed to this at all until this moment.
Right, meaning he comes to identify with the underdog because now he sees it, right? We don't even know yet whether he knows he's Jewish at this point. Right? Or well, it sounds like he doesn't.
Footnote guy.
Right?
Footnote guy.
Well, the footnote does. But according to the Ibn Ezra, he may not know he's Jewish. We just know that he identifies with the underdog. Yeah.
Wait, so the Ibn Ezra would say it was an Egyptian hitting an Egyptian?
No. It was an Egyptian hitting a Jew. But when he saved the Jew, but not necessarily because he identified as a Jew. He may not have known he was a Jew.
Oh, he was just like, don't.
He's like, that's just wrong, right? This is a moral outrage. And that's the way the Ibn Ezra understands it, right? Again, not for Zev, right? That there's a machloket echav. What echav means when Moshe went to echav. The Ibn Ezra says it means the mitzrim. He still identifies as a mitzrim.
So it also makes sense, like why, like with the burning bush, like it has to be explained to him. That
correct, and that now, but that's what I want to point out is how much hangs on the story. Is that according to Ibn Ezra, if you take the kav Chashiva of Ibn Ezra, you can explain a lot. You can say, he was Egyptian. What we learn about him is not that he identified with Jews, but he identified with the oppressed. And the reason that God has to spell things out for him in Midian is because he didn't really know he was Jewish. They had to explain to him, right? You are an Ivri, right? V'chulei, v'chulei.
It's the DreamWorks file.
Straight. The Ramban, on the other hand, says no. He knew he was Jewish. And therefore, he was going to see the Jews. What do you need to do now? Now you have to read the whole story, and if you think about all the movies, they're all trying to figure out, when exactly did he figure out he was Jewish? Who told him? Was it his mother? Was it his biological mother? His adopted mother? Was it his sister? Right? Every movie has a different shot at the moment at which he found out that he was Jewish. And according to them, the story is completely different. It's the story of someone who grew up in the palace but knew he was Jewish. When did he find out he was Jewish? As a little kid? Recently? And that's why he's going out? Right? But if you think about how much hangs on, in order to say Echav means that he was cognizant of the fact that it was the Jews, you have to build an entire backstory. I was listening to a shiur on my way here by Uri Shirky, who suggested maybe the ambiguity is intentional. Right? Meaning, maybe he did find out he was Jewish, but he also grew up in the palace, and therefore, the question, the drama in the story is, which, by the time he finishes the story, which of these are going to be the ones he identifies with as Echav? Right? In a certain sense, they're both Echav, and we talked about this last year, we watched the clip from The Prince of Egypt, right, where on the one hand, he identifies with the Egyptians, on the other hand, he comes to identify the Jew, and the question is, when does he flip? Right, when does he end up? Right, when does he begin to identify more with the Jews than the Egyptians? But part of the drama here is that he is really in both worlds. Now, Uri Shirky built this whole thing that he thinks everyone has their own theory of when exactly which dynasty we're talking about, and he notes that historically there is one period in which there is an Egyptian king who is known to have been adopted from Goshen. And then he tries to build it around that, and then argues that he was actually a ruler there, and he was involved in the war against the Hyksos in the Northern Kingdom. We talked about this a little bit. He builds a whole theory behind this, but I don't want to get into that right now. But his argument is that, again, the drama here is the ambiguity of Ahav is exactly highlighting the fact that maybe he knows he's Jewish, but he still identifies as Egyptian, and this is the story in which he becomes, right, comes to identify with the Jews. Now, based on that, he has an interesting point, which is that why is it that Moshe ends up running away in the immediately following story? So he reads this in a compelling way, which is, well, think about it. If the story here is that Moshe could continue to identify as an Egyptian prince, or he could give up on that and identify with the Jews, what would be the most dangerous situation he could be in? Well, that is dangerous. There's one situation even more dangerous than that, which is? Yes, exactly. Right? Is to, as the Gemara says about, right, in Eved at some point, right? Michal Akum Yatza Lechal Yisrael Loba. Right? He's left one but hasn't quite made it to the other. And he says, where would you see that in this story? So he says, look, read the pasuk carefully. He kills the Egyptian. At that moment, right, he kills the Egyptian. What has he done?
He has left,
right? If that was the break, if that was the make or break moment, he has now moved. Okay, so now you'd say, oh, he left the Egyptian identity. He has now been embraced by the Jews, and at least he's a good slave. And he says, yeah, good luck. Because what happens in the next pasuk? Vayetze bayom hasheni, day two. Or the day after he's chosen not to identify as an Egyptian and identify as a Jew. What happens? So he sees Jews fighting, and this time he intervenes. And what do they say to him? Who made you a leader? Are you going to kill us like the Egyptian? He says, wait a second. If he was still the prince of Egypt, right? No slave is saying, who made you lord over us? He's a prince of Egypt. But The first pasuk tells you he chose to leave that status. Except they haven't embraced him. Right? They haven't embraced him. Vayira Moshe. So Moshe panics. Vayomar achein no da'adavar. Because he said, wait a second. Right? Now it is known that I have left Mitzri. Right? Now they're not scared of me, but they're also not embracing me. Vayishma paro da'adavar. And paro hears. Meaning, he follows through. Paro finds out what he's done. So he, for all intents and purposes, is written out of the palace. Vayigash la'arog et Moshe. But Moshe can't really run to the Jews because they haven't accepted him either. So what's the only option? Vayivrach Moshe mibnei paro. Vayishav eretz midyan. Vayishav al be'er. So he goes out. He just leaves because he's in a very precarious situation because he's left the palace and the safety of the palace and chosen to identify with the Jews, but they haven't quite identified with him, right? So his only option is just to disappear until God says, go back, which also gives more meaning to his complete breakdown. When God says, go back, and he says, me? Why am I going back to talk to the Egyptians about the Jews? How does this make any sense? Right? What is going on? Right? And maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow, and part of God's answer is...
That's exactly the point.
That's part of the answer. The other part is, I'll give you Aaron to be with you. Right, because Aaron is the leader from within the Jews. I'll give you Aaron. Aaron will be part of the Cheshbon. Right, we'll figure it out. Right, that's part of the answer. But again, this is, I think, the drama here, and it comes down to this word: who are Echav? At that moment, and there are two or three, well, two diametrically opposed, and then one synthesis, if you want, way of reading that. But the story hangs on how you understand this this drama and how it unfolds. Okay.